cometh the hour, cometh the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM, live from an undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity. Oh, I know. Some of you think you know where the mothership is docked, but you do not. In any case, well, welcome to the Saturday night edition. John B. in with you tonight, 2 weeks away from the day after the much anticipated 12/21/2012. I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I can't predict which will become National Hangover Day. Maybe both. Tonight, a debrief from last Saturday night with Richard Hoagland and your calls. Then, Dr. Joseph P. Farrell and Dr. Scott D. DeHart and Transhumanism, a grimoire of alchemical agendas. And how timely this interview and the revelation of this book to me is at the current point in time. You know, here's a clever little quote from the book, Transhumanism. The present age prefers the sign to the thing signified, the copy to the original, fancy to reality, the appearance to the essence. For in these days, illusion only is sacred, truth profane. And ain't it the truth? Looking through the news, we see that, you know, the rage this week for many has been the football player who went crazy and killed his girlfriend and himself in front of his coach and some of his teammates. And then, whoa, now Jerry Brown, linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys practice squad, has been killed. His teammate, Josh Brent, was arrested on charges of intoxication manslaughter. So could I just take a moment to pick on Bob Costas? What a deeply irresponsible thing to say. You should be ashamed of yourself. That doesn't what I just said doesn't represent anything to do with Premier Radio Networks or the station you're listening to it on. But you know, the problem with this mass media thing is that one little boo-boo like that goes viral, and before long it becomes a uniform for a cliché. And we must do everything that we can individually and collectively to ensure that what, in my opinion, is a deliberate attempt to foment racial tension in this country be diffused, ignored, and rejected. We don't need any more division. What we need is unity. Now, the thing about transhumanism, look at how almost permanently adhered to the human being is the smartphone. Driving has become incidental to texting, emailing, and calling. Now, soon you'll be able to receive text messages right on your eyeball by using a special lens. Yes, it's true. Transhumanism is leaving infancy. It's beginning to toddle. Soon it will be walking and then running, unless, of course, we stop it. Now, Richard C. Hoagland was on last Saturday night, and there were some pictures from Mars. Now, these pictures are not to be confused. He referred to one artifact that was photographed as a Martian Nike. That's just because it slightly resembles a shoe. But I have to tell you, looking at some of these pieces of debris, there is no doubt that they are pieces of some kind of machine or some kind of metal, all blown apart and distorted, but still not part of the rocky landscape. And notice how the pictures that we get back from Mars are now decidedly less pink, less indicative of the red planet. You know, if you're going to send back pictures from Mars, they got to be red, right? No. Now, get this one. This one really grabbed me. Secret files on aliens. Russian Prime Minister says Men in Black is a documentary. Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev may have some secret files on aliens. He talked about extraterrestrials living on Earth during a television interview on Friday. Medvedev said that he has two folders containing secret files about aliens that are currently walking among us. The prime minister said that he didn't want to give specifics about the size of the alien population because he didn't want to create a panic. According to WHIG.com, Russian television stations did not air the footage of Medvedev talking about aliens on Earth, but the footage did leak out onto the Internet, according to The Telegraph. Medvedev said, quote, along with the briefcase with nuclear codes, the president of the country is given a special top-secret folder. This folder, in its entirety, contains information about aliens who visited our planet. Along with this, you are given a report of the absolutely secret special service that exercises control over aliens on the territory of our country. More detailed information on this topic you can get from a well-known movie called Men in Black. I will not tell you how many of them are among us, because it may cause panic. The Russian prime minister was probably making a joke about the secret files on aliens, but it has created a bit of a stir among conspiracy theorists. So, what do you think? Remember, for the first hour, we're going to take your calls, and then for the remainder of the program, we will have the good doctors. That would be Joseph P. Farrell and Scott D. DeHart, and we'll discuss transhumanism. There's other stuff. You know, it's really tempting to go into a lot of things that really would not be appropriate on this program. For example, Switzerland, gun crime rate so low that statistics are not even kept. Guns are deeply rooted within Swiss culture, but the gun crime rate is so low that statistics are not even kept. The country has a population of 6 million, but there are an estimated 2 million publicly owned firearms, including about 600,000 automatic rifles and 500,000 pistols. This is in very large part due to Switzerland's unique system of national defense, which was developed over many centuries. So what this tells us is that we are still babies. 7.4 magnitude earthquake strikes off the coast of Japan. TEPCO says no irregularities seen in radiation levels at Fukushima Daiichi, a nuclear plant after a Japanese quake. And as we know, Tokyo Electric is very, very reliable in reporting the situation with that ongoing crisis. Radioactive material is continuously leaking into the ocean. According to Ty Bollinger, which I had the privilege of speaking with earlier tonight on another program, the West Coast of the United States is still being beaten with radiation, and the EPA simply raises the level so that everything stays within acceptable parameters. See, it's almost like watching somebody eat a cookie in the kitchen, and they're dropping crumbs on the floor, and you say, what are you doing? They just keep chewing, and they point to the roach trap. A foodborne parasite that infects domestic cats can get inside the human brain by commandeering special cells of the immune system, which it uses as a Trojan horse to enter the central nervous system, a study has found. Scientists believe they finally discovered the mechanism that allows Toxoplasma gondii, a single-celled parasite, to pass from the human gut to the brain, where it may cause behavioral changes, including the exacerbation or creation of schizophrenia. That doesn't mean get rid of the cat yet. You can research this for yourself and find out if you're in the risk zone. Now, as I've indicated before, I want to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. Anybody from the East Coast that will back up my assertion that after a trip to New York, FEMA was all but useless. Red Cross was useless. But who came to the rescue? You did. You did. Water, batteries, blankets, toiletries, people struggling to tend to their primitive needs. It was the American people who did more than any of the agencies. Now just imagine what would happen for the good if that many people turned their attention to some of the other things that require attention. I repeat, like defusing the intentional foment of racial discord in this country. Okay, now, I warn you, I want some calls, or I'll read the bloody phone book. Remember what we talked about, and welcome. Good to be with you tonight. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. You know, yesterday, Friday, was Pearl Harbor Day. 71 years, one day, and about 12 hours ago, My father was going through the Pearl Harbor experience on the USS Maryland, battleship that my grandfather actually helped build, and after whom I am named, not the battleship, the grandfather. And it's interesting, reading a little something from InfoWars here. Soon after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 41, rumors began to circulate challenging the official narrative that it was an unprovoked surprise attack. The cumulative evidence gathered over the last 70 years by scholars, journalists, and investigators vindicates those suspicions of treachery from the top. For it comprises a solid circumstantial case that Franklin D. Roosevelt and his top advisors deliberately provoked the attack and deliberately looked the other way before it came. What was the reason for this? Roosevelt wanted to plunge the U.S. into the European war on the side of Great Britain, but was unsuccessful in provoking Germany in the North Atlantic. So he decided that provoking a Japanese attack upon U.S. military bases in the Pacific would be the best way to achieve that objective. Since Japan was allied with Germany under the Tripartite Pact, Roosevelt calculated a war with Japan would sooner or later bring the U.S. into war against Germany, which of course it did. Most historians, when pressed on the matter, now grudgingly concede that Roosevelt lied when he told the American people that he would never send their boys to fight into foreign wars, but they excuse his treachery as a noble lie. A deception perpetrated against the public by the political elite to achieve a supposed greater good. And that noble lie argument usually goes something like this. Given the evil of Nazism and the threat that Hitler posed to the world, Roosevelt was justified in maneuvering the U.S. into a war with Germany. Robert Stinnett adopts this view in his book Day of Deceit, where he writes, I sympathize with the agonizing dilemma faced by President Roosevelt. He was forced to find circuitous means to persuade an isolationist America to join in a fight for freedom. So what do you make of this whole never-ending and ever-expanding state of war that we have? What do you make of the Benghazi situation? What do you make of all this news that we have now about Assad refusing to leave Syria and threatening to use chemical weapons on his own people? Do you believe this is a prelude to something bigger? Do you believe that this is possibly part of a plan to unify that part of the world under the Muslim Brotherhood? If you have any of these concerns and would like to discuss them on the program tonight, you would certainly be willing to do so. To continue, and just because these things cannot be forgotten, there is no evidence, according to this article, that Hitler ever entertained plans for world domination. His primary objective was the abrogation of the Treaty of Versailles, which had disarmed Germany and led to her territorial dismemberment. He was determined to reclaim these territories, and although negotiations were his preferred method, he was willing to wage war if necessary. Now, this information is being broadcast out all over the place. So what we must understand is that if we're going to be exposed to this much informational stimuli, we have to be prepared to either stop listening to it or do our own research after we've listened to it and it's gotten our attention. Many thanks to everybody who has become a Coast Insider. I just need to drop this in because, as I've said before, the landscape of radio is changing and you are changing with it. It is shifting and you are shifting with it. And don't forget, 3 years of archived shows. And so if all of a sudden, poof, we had you, but you're gone. If you become a Coast Insider, we're not gone. And therefore, the information put out over the program will not be lost. And otherwise, it might be. Make it a point to stop by coasttocoastam.com and check out some of the information on it. Of course, it mentions that Art Bell somewhere in time would be on tonight. That's already come and gone. And it also indicates what you'll be hearing tonight from our two guests coming up, Joseph P. Farrell, doctor, and also Dr. Scott D. DeHart, and the transhumanism thing. You're going to be very interested in this because some people will say, Jambi, we don't get this. Why do you not promote what's going to be on the upcoming shows? I'll tell you why. Because somebody may decide that they know what the show is going to be about without hearing it. and then find out later that they should have listened. See how all of this dovetails together, do you? Okay. All right. On the Coast website, a newly published study examines the remarkable phenomenon of catfish and a UFO over Pelham, New Hampshire. That's very, very interesting. All right. Now then, feel free to send an email to johnb@coasttocoastam.com. J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, @coasttocoastam.com. And I will be happy to relay that information over there. And in a few minutes, we're going to give out the numbers. I might get Nathan to just give out the numbers now anyway. But whatever. Now, why don't you? All right, he's going to give out the numbers. You know, it's all structured and everything, except on Saturday night where we throw structure to the wind. That quote from the book Transhumanism, written by our two doctor guests, Joseph P. Farrell and Scott D. DeHart. That was a quote from Ludwig Feuerbach. Yeah, that's why it's actually Dr. Seuss, not Dr. Zeus. You know, the EU. Never mind. Now, Ludwig Andreas von Feuerbach, that's July 28, 1804 to September 13, 1872. He was a German philosopher and anthropologist. Now, I don't know if you want to know about the lineage, but he was the fourth son of the eminent jurist Paul Johann Anselm Ritter von Feuerbach, brother of mathematician Carl Wilhelm Feuerbach, and uncle of painter Anselm Feuerbach. But in any case, he was an associate of left Hegelian circles. He was politically liberal, an atheist, and a materialist. Many of his philosophical writings offered a critical analysis of Christianity. His thought was influential in the development of dialectic materialism, where he is often recognized as a bridge between Hegel and Marx. And when you look at transhumanism, this is really the best way that it can be explained. The ultimate question is no longer who am I or why am I here? These questions were answered in the earliest civilizations by philosophers and priests. Today we live in an age of such rapid advances in technology and science that the ultimate question must be rephrased, what shall we be? Now this book, Transhumanism, a grimoire of alchemical agendas, investigates what may become of human civilization. Who is setting the agenda for a transhumanistic civilization and why? The modern Victor Frankenstein holds a high political office, carries diplomatic immunity, and is most likely funded by the largest corporations worldwide. His method is ancient. Alchemy. Alchemy. His fraternities are well known, and their secrets are well kept. But his goal of times past and present is the same. He dares to become as God, genetically manipulating the seeds of the earth, the beasts on the field, and to claim legal ownership over humanity by recreating it in his own image. This is no fairy tale, science fiction, or conspiracy theory. It simply is. Now, when you think about it, what is happening right before our eyes? All of these agendas coming into play at once. We had a program with Bill Jasper and Rosa Corey, who made that brilliant statement, you can't control what you don't know you have, which I still think is a genius statement. And this Agenda 21, do you notice it's true? All of these places and all of these cities, these little communities, these little neighborhoods are all being made into tiny little time squares where you can eat, do your laundry, go to the little drugstore, pick up a few notions, live, entertain, all in a very, very small amount of blocks. Two or three blocks, you have it all. Why do you need a car? Take the public rail. Walk. Ride your bike. Carry that smartphone, because we need to know where you are. At some point, the thing that you carry may very well be built into your body. And the attitude that people are adopting toward these devices They won't be imposed upon them. They'll be lined up starting at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to have them inserted, to be the first on their block, to be completely connected without carrying anything but their own weight. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment. This is Coast. You know what? I love opening my mouth and producing an effect. So I got an email. I'll share it with you. Not that it surprises me coming from you, but what in the hell did Costa say that rankled your universe? Well, I'll tell you what he did. I'll tell you what he said. What he said was, well, it's just impossible. I'm paraphrasing. It's impossible for these young men to be put in this situation and all hang around together. I suppose he meant with all this testosterone and warrior attitude that they have, that they carry with them throughout their lives, and especially out on the football field. It's impossible for a tragedy not to occur if guns are around. If the guy Belcher, the email goes on, did not have a gun, he and his girlfriend might still be alive. Yeah, if he didn't have a kitchen knife handy. Let me tell you something, pal. A genius named Patrick McGoohan put out a 16-episode series called The Prisoner. And in one of them, number two told number six he was delighted that he had elected to participate in the art show. Of course, all the time, he was actually building a little boat and a sail and everything else, which, oddly enough, the sail had a picture of number two on it. He said, "No, you're not using any prohibitive weapons, are you? No prohibited weapons at all. No chisels, no hammers, no stone axes. No thumbs down the eye sockets." Let me tell you something. You take some people, not all of them, not all of them, but a measurably high percentage of them. Give them money, give them power, idolize them, tell them they're warriors. They slam themselves into concussion after concussion out on the football field, give them no guidance what to do with their money, do not keep track of what's happening to them psychologically, and then it's a big mystery why they snap. It's not a big mystery at all. The fact is, nobody cares about anything except who gets into the end zone. It's got nothing to do with the NRA, and it certainly doesn't have anything to do with the KKK. It has to do with psychology. Okay? We're going to take our first little floating break for this this segment, and then the rest of it will be your telephone calls, starting with Mark. He was first on the list, so Mark will be next when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Mark, in the beautiful state of Oregon, come upon the bridge of the mothership and tell us what's on your mind. You can agree with me, you can disagree with me, you can take me to task, or whatever you want to do. It's your show now. Hit me.
John B., I'd never disagree with you.
Okay, I'm in trouble now, pal.
Well, you're one of my favorite talk show moderators, hosts, and, you know, I try to be people's favorite caller, one of them, I mean, if I can. So I do the best I can. But it's always a pleasure to speak with you, John. And
well, thank you.
Well, you're most welcome, sir. I think you do an excellent job, by the way. I don't think you could carry the show any better than you do. I'd mentioned to Clyde Lewis, if I may mention his name. You know, he has a show, if you've heard, No Clyde.
Yep, No Clyde Davis to Ground Zero. I like him.
Sure. I think he'd make an excellent guest for you, by the way. I think it'd be a very interesting show, and maybe vice versa, for sure.
That's a great idea, and I'll get into it and see if he'll acquiesce to that request.
Fantastic. Well, while I'm thinking of it, John, it's not the main reason I called, if I can recall that reason, but the the other suggestion would be Andrew Bishago, who George has had on his show in recent years a number of times, and he was on Clyde Lewis's show last night, as a matter of fact, for about 4 hours. And he's at ProjectPegasus.net, and he is such an extremely interesting interview. He's very good. He's a lawyer, and he's very well-spoken. And he goes over the aspect of time travel as practiced by the U.S. government beginning in the early 70s, with teleportation actually being perfected during the 60s. And he was involved through his father, who worked as a scientist for DARPA, which, as you're probably aware, John, is under the auspices of the CIA, under the direction of the CIA, at least as it was originally founded. And he was brought into the program, involved with teleportation, and teleported long distances in the United States. He also, in the early 70s, he was brought into the program in the late 60s and then early 70s. By the early 70s, they had perfected time travel. And he actually went back in time to the Gettysburg Address in 1865. Oh. And his picture, his image shows up in a photograph that was taken at that time. And it's all on his website, ProjectPegasus.net. Along with a lot of other things. And he plans on running for president in 2016, John. So he's a very interesting man, very not particularly low-key, but just very well-balanced and self-moderated in a very efficient way. And just a totally excellent interview.
Well, we can be low-key after 12:21 when everybody calms down a little bit, although I'm wondering if everyone's going to be even more jacked up on the 22nd going, well, what if they missed it by a day?
Something else beyond, you know, December 21st. They'll use that for all it's worth to get people off balance if they can, and more malleable to the implementation of the Illuminati New World Order agenda as pertains to the individual transformation into what they want people to be, which in our case is the masses, of course, is just our eventual inability to breathe through one means or another, our death. They're just that evil.
Did you say inability to breathe?
No, breathe.
Breathe. Okay, gotcha.
Respirate. Yes.
Well, I was going to seg into something. You know, they a study has been conducted in France. They have determined that the sperm count in men in France, on average, has declined by almost 30%.
Yeah, you'd think they would have been the last ones to be affected by whatever is causing all this. But, you know, as you're probably well aware, John, it's just a variety of things. In this country, it's bisphenol A in the plastic is a big contributor to that, as well as the fluoride. And Europe is surprisingly clean, as I understand it, relative to America when it comes to toxins in the environment that most people ingest in the water and or the food. So I'm surprised to hear that. I really am.
Well, maybe it's the chemtrail thing. You know, it's not just for weather control anymore. Mark, right. Thank you. You're a rational and articulate man. I appreciate your call very much. God bless you too, sir. Ira, South Beach, Florida. Come on the deck. And tell us what you got. Ira.
Hey, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Okay, so have you ever watched the Dead Man Walking show, the Walking Dead show? With it's on a cable channel.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll look at it. I've never sat through an entire episode, I'll tell you that.
Okay, I haven't been able to sleep for over 9 years, and I have had this the bugs crawling inside my body and my skin, and I've always complained about it, but no one ever took me serious. And so recently, a couple of years ago, I finally made it to the clinic, and it's a long name, but the doctor said it's just a normal. They called another guy, and the guy gave him the diagnosis, and basically it's just I had this bug crawling through my body, and so nobody believed me. So what happened is watching this Walking Dead TV show made me think that, you know, maybe it's something that we have inside of us. So I used one of the tweezers that I had, and then I cut through my wrist or my ankle, and those are when the spots that's really tingly. So I felt it crawling, and I dug in and by my cuticle on my ring finger, and I caught the little insect, and I pulled it out, and it didn't want to come out. So I finally managed to pull it out, and the insect was an insect. It was like a tiny, like a piece of metal, and it's just really, really skinny. I can't explain. It's like
it didn't look like a regular bug. It looked like something that was manufactured in a plant.
it sounds like, it just looks like a confetti, but I thought my mind was playing tricks with me. I'm right now, as we speak, my body is just infested. It's crawling all over. I feel them crawling into. And it's only a couple of years ago that it started to get worse. And so after watching The Walking Dead show, what made me think that it's something that some of us, I don't know if it's all of us, but The Walking Dead zombies, when they die, the humans die, in a matter of minutes, they turn into zombies. And so I just, using that piece of metal I used, and I got it out of the cuticle, and I put it under a magnifying glass. And it's like, it shines like a confetti that's on a Christmas tree. It's weird, and it looks more like a piece of a small microscopic piece of like a metal, but it's actually, that was what I got out of my body. And just yesterday, the reason why I'm calling you, coming out of the shower, I use a lighter to put on my ankle or on my wrist or my arm. I was brushing my teeth, and I used the lighter, and I was chasing it with the lighter up my thigh.
Oh my God. And that's terrible, man. Wait a minute. Instead of taking knives and lighters to yourself, are you telling me you can't find a doctor to look at this? What about that fellow out in California that removes the alien implants? He might want to look at it. Maybe it is an alien implant.
Well, this is what happened. When I use the heat, whenever I put the heat, it makes my pain feel better. But what happened is that when I put the lighter next to my the thigh, it traveled all the way up my rib cage and all the way up my neck. So finally, I pushed my jaw up, my left jaw, my left cheek. I swear to God, man, it scared the hell out of me. It went.
Yes, it's scaring me.
My pupil, not my pupil, but the whiteness of my eye, where the veins are, it moved in there. I called the ambulance, man. I my wife and my kid came along with me, and the same guy, I had to wait overnight in the emergency room. That same guy got in there with another lady that I never seen before. Whoa. And they said, gave me medication. And I feel these bugs all in my body, and it's getting worse. And so the reason why I'm calling is saying that Walking Dead thing, that TV show, might be something in the water system that the government has in our bodies, and that maybe some of us feels it and some of us feels it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something to you talked about the residue coming over from the nuclear Japan nuclear, yes. Earthquake. Maybe, yes. They have that in a water system where it's something that we can repel the nuclear, you know, so we can be safe. Or maybe it's something sinister. I don't know what it is, but I'm going. I have an appointment 2 days to go see a specialist. But these bugs are metal. It's not bugs like I thought it was. It's like a type of microscopic little metal that I got it right now in my pocket, a small pocket of my wallet.
All right. Hang on a second. All right, Nate, did you tell me that's Dr. Roger Lehman? Lear. How are we spelling that? L-E-I-R. All right, tell you what, Ira, you need to get a hold of Dr. Roger Lear, L-E-I-R. Just go to the net, look him up, and he removes what have been, well, I'm not going to say confirm because I didn't see it myself, you know, but he removes implants that are not from here.
Please tell me that he said about the metal implant. What is the metal insects? Can he remove the metal insects out of my body?
I don't see why not, but I'll tell you, I think he has the most experience with this sort of thing, and I think you should look into it. Thanks, Ira. I'm sorry that you're suffering with this, but Dr. Roger Lear, L-E-I-R, would seem to be for you. Wow. Did everybody get that? Now, that's torment nobody needs. West of the Rockies, Devante in Rouge River, Oregon. Beautiful Oregon. Another call from beautiful Oregon. How are you?
Am I on?
Yes. You're on the air. You were on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, I wanted to talk about a few weeks ago when this one guy that was substituting for George when he had that one problem with his mouth.
Okay.
These two guys that came on, they both talked about how they have like mutant powers, and the one guy referred to it as being like X-Men.
Yes.
Well, I believe I've developed one of those, and it came from an alien encounter.
No kidding.
Yeah, this one night I was in my room, and I was reading a book. And I looked up the window, and it was like this weird greenish-purple light. And then this face showed up next to the window, and it was like a Yeti, like those pictures you see on the web.
Yes.
And it was like covered in hair, and it had this greenish-purple ooze like coming out from beneath his fur, like the milk comes out of a platypus.
Yeah, really?
And it was like glowing, and that was what was causing the light. And it scared me so much, it passed out. And I know that's what caused it, and I don't know what happened, but when I woke up, I was, like, inside my mattress, like my head was sticking out.
Ooh.
And I was, like, freaking out, thinking that it had somehow shoved me into the mattress.
Now, how long ago was this?
Like, a few months. Like, it was September.
And then what happened?
Well, I tried to get out of the mattress, and I lifted my arm, and whoosh, it, like, went right through. And I just climbed out of the mattress like my body was, like, gas or something. Gaseous substance.
Well, you know, actually, these things are not that unusual. Not everyone experiences the same things, but all of us have experienced some phenomenon of one kind or another. You weren't harmed in any way, were you?
Well, like, every now and then, it's kind of like restless leg syndrome.
Yes.
My legs will start to feel weird, and then there are times when they'll, like, vibrate. And when that happens, like, soon after or soon before that, I've, like, gone into a substance again. Mostly happens when I'm, like, sitting on a fabric cushion or chair or something like that.
Yes.
And I can't control it. I'm working on trying to control it, but so far it's just, like, happened randomly. Like, it happened 2 nights ago and it freaked my girlfriend out.
You know, if that were happening to me, I would be inclined to try and list the conditions that I'm experiencing when these things occur, because it could be that rather than something unpleasant being visited upon you, it could be that it is revealing, that these experiences are revealing a gift that you may have to experience these things, and it may actually not be as sinister as one might be inclined to read into it. Thank you very much for sharing that, and good luck. Please, if anything else happens that's even more dramatic, please let us know. Send me an email if you want to, johnb@coasttocoastam.com. Well, guess what? Once you call and you wait, once you come on the air, I like to give you a few minutes. And that's what we've done. So guess what? Let's get ready for a discussion on transhumanism with Drs. Joseph P. Farrell and Dr. Scott D. DeHart. Transhumanism, a grimoire of alchemical agendas. Personally, I can't wait. You know, we all want an awakening on 1221. I've got an idea. Let's just wake up. This is Coast to Coast AM.